Now, Ty pointed out that this class meets so irregularly that he's going to start calling when we do have a class. It's going to be a cameo appearance on that part. Anyway, what's that?
Do we know you?
Class needs to mirror that.
Okay, back in Ephesians 3. We left off last time. I think we had pretty much finished up the four, if you want to call them, dimensions of the love of God in verse 18. And Paul goes on to say, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Very interesting statement there, to know something that passes knowing. But again, we pointed out that Woost sees that as an experiential knowing, which I think is very appropriate. Knowing the love of God from our experience, from the things that the Lord takes us through, is much more powerful, it's much more profitable than any sort of book learning of knowing. Okay, you can know the books inside and out, but until you've actually experienced the love of God, that is His ability to keep us or to provide for us in some way, especially through an extended trial. That's the experiential knowledge, when we know that He is everything that He says He is to us. So that's what Paul is referring to here, is knowing the love of God by what He takes us through and what He has taken us through. And of course, this knowledge is going to be effectual. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, if somebody wants to turn there and read that to us again.
It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Okay. And that word effectually there is the Greek word energio, from which we get our word energy. And it means to produce or producing an effort. And having that revelation and understanding and experience of the love of God will bring us toward that state of fullness or completion that will be characteristic of the Lamb's wife. She's going to be like Him because she's going to be full of Him who fills all things. Okay? And if somebody will go to Colossians 4, someone to 1 John 3, we'll just review this real quickly. Whoever gets to Colossians 4, verse 12.
Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God.
Okay. And then 1 John 3:2, whoever's there.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Okay. The Lamb's wife will be just like Him. All will be like Him, but there's some that will be more like Him than others. Okay. According to 1 Corinthians 15. All right. And then this revelation and understanding, as he says here in verse 20, this revelation and understanding will surpass simply knowing. That word gnosko that Paul uses in many other places, because the Holy Ghost will unfold and confirm the endless boundaries of God's love for us and in us through the experiences that He takes us through. And again, it goes back to our experiences. It's one thing to know the love of God in a word sense, having read the scriptures, studied the scriptures, and be able to quote scriptures. But actually having lived it is an entirely different thing, a different depth. Okay? So, the Lord will cause the love of God to be fulfilled in us, if that makes any sense. Not by us, but the love of God fulfilled in us. In other words, we will live the love of God and thus be well on the way to becoming one of those who John mistook for Jesus himself there in Revelation. Okay? If we live the love of God, what's going to be the difference? Okay? All right. Then before we left this portion, I want to go back to verse 18 here where Paul says, let's back up to 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That phrase in verse 18 where he says, may be able to comprehend with all saints, I want you to understand that's referencing a provision that is a result of God's desire and purpose. Not all believers will comprehend the love of God the way that it is presented here because not all of them want to. All right? So his phrase, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints, again, is a provisional statement because not all saints are going to comprehend the love of God. That certainly would be God's desire and purpose, but it's not going to happen. If somebody will go to Colossians 1 and 1 Timothy 2, someone else to Acts 28, someone to Romans 10, and someone to 2 Corinthians 2. This provisional statement is similar to what is stated in a couple of other places, at least a couple of other places. Whoever's in Colossians 1, verse 27.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay, to whom God would make known. How many people would God make this known to? All people. Are all of them going to know it? No. It's a provisional thought. All right? 1 Timothy 2, whoever's there, verse 4.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the full knowledge of the truth.
Okay. And again, this is obvious. Of course God would have all men to be saved. But we know very well that not all men will be saved. And by the same token, not all men are going to come to a full knowledge of the truth because they don't want to. All right? But the provision is there. So these two, as examples, are again expressions of God's desire and intention towards man rather than a statement of how things are or will be. Okay? Understand that. Whoever's in Acts 28, verse 24.
And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not.
Okay. Some believed and some didn't. So right there is a factual occurrence of this very thing. The provision was there for all to believe. Okay? God, and we're told, maybe Joe, Ty, you guys can look this up. We're told that God has offered faith to all men. Okay? He doesn't say faith, he says assurance, but it's the same word, the Greek word pistis. He's offered assurance to all men. But then Paul turns around and says, for not all men have faith. Mm-hmm. They haven't all accepted it. They won't all take the gift or take advantage of the provision. Romans 10, whoever's there, verse 16.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?
Okay. So here is a statement of how things really are. All right, they haven't all believed the gospel, much as the Lord would want them to. 2 Corinthians 2, whoever's there, verse 17, and if somebody else will go to 2 Thessalonians 3.
For we are not many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ.
Okay, here again. Here is a statement by Paul of reality. Many people in his day were corrupting the word of God. All right? It wasn't all the way God would have it to be. 2 Thessalonians 3, whoever's there, verse 2.
And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith.
Okay. All right, and then let's have someone go to Romans 15, someone to 1 Corinthians 2, someone to 2 Corinthians 4, someone else to Galatians 2, someone here in Ephesians 3, someone to Colossians, back to Colossians 1, someone to 1 Timothy 1, and someone to 2 Timothy 4, and someone to Titus 2, and someone to Hebrews 6. And I will repeat those. We can see a similar case of what I'm getting at here in the occurrence of the word might. Okay? Now, you've all read the scriptures enough to know that many times the word might refers to power. But many times the word might is also used in the sense of maybe. All right? So let's look at a few of these. Romans 15, whoever's there, verse 4.
Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope.
Okay. You ever run into any believers that don't have much hope? The provision's there, is it not? Okay. But this is a statement of how God would have things rather than how things really are. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2, whoever's there, verse 12.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Okay? Again, a very clear one. How many believers understand their calling via Paul's gospel? Not many.
And they don't even know there's a calling. Most of them. Yeah.
I rest my case. Yeah. Okay, again, the provision's there, but here's the reality. Okay? And then, Mitt, was that you, Mitch?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 9, verses 19 through 23.
For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And of the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law is as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you.
Okay. Anybody keep track of how many times Paul said might?
Six
or seven times? Okay. Again, God would have all men to be saved. That's why Paul made himself that way to all men, that he might save some. Okay. It's a statement of how things are. Or a statement, I should say, of God's provision rather than how things are. Chapter 14, Mitch, in verse 19.
Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, and by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue.
That doesn't sound right. Scratch that one.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 4, whoever's there, verse 15.
For all things are for your sake, that the abundance of grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God.
Okay. And here again, that's a jawbreaker. All things are for your sakes? Oh, yeah. When I broke my leg, or when I destroyed my car in that accident, that was for my sake? Well, not many people see it that way, but the provision is there. Okay? James chapter 8, verse 9 now.
For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Might be rich. Okay, it's a provision. Galatians 2, whoever's there, verse 16.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Okay, that we might be justified by faith. All right, it's a provision. It's a possibility. Ephesians 3, notice verse 19 here. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you might be filled. All right? It's a conditional thing. You're not going to be filled with all the fullness of God unless you know the love of Christ the way Paul is describing it here. All right? God's provision is there. It's what he would have for all men, but it's not what's reality. All right? Notice also in chapter 5, starting in verse 26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Here again, the provision is there for the entire church, but it's not the reality of the way things are, or the way they're going to be. Colossians 1, whoever's there, verses 9 and 10.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Okay. Now, wasn't it a wonderful thing that the Lord moved Paul's heart to pray for this continually for these people? But again, it was a might, that you might be filled. All right? It wasn't a set for sure thing, that you might be filled, that you might walk worthy. All right, 1 Timothy 1, verse 16.
Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting.
Okay, Jesus might show forth a pattern. He did show forth a pattern. How many people see it and understand it for what it is? Okay, the pattern's there. The provision is there. But the reality is otherwise. 2 Timothy 4, whoever's there, verse 17.
Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion.
Ah, that all the Gentiles might hear. Okay? That one should be pretty obvious. Okay, Titus 2, whoever's there, verse 14.
Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Okay, a provision. Might redeem us from all iniquity. That's a doozy, isn't it? Okay, the provision's there, but how many will yield to it? All right. And finally, Hebrews 6, verse 18.
That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Okay. We might have a strong consolation. How many in here have a strong consolation?
Amen.
It's because you've believed what the Lord presented there, the provision. But it's not true of everybody. The provision's there. God would have it that way, but it's not reality. All right? So, all these verses that we've read in this last group are all conditional statements, that word might, speaking of a possibility or a hope and a desire on God's part and certainly on Paul's part, rather than a settled fact or a reality. Now, in the occurrence here in verse 18, where he says, may be able to comprehend with all saints, I want you to understand also that it's not a case of having an attitude of superiority or elitism. People would say, well, you just think that you're the only ones that know it, or wisdom's going to die with us. No, it's the result or product, just like all these other mites, it's the result or product of a willingness to yield to the complete, exact, and perfect will of God, and thus be grown up by Him, by His power, not by our yieldedness or our efforts, by His power into all things, just as He desires, wills, and states. Look at chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That is a possibility. All right? But again, that possibility is realized only in and by those who are willing to yield to the possibility and believe God for the possibility. All right? So, Paul closes here in verses 20 and 21 by pointing us to Him who is able. I like that.
Amen.
Let's have somebody go to Romans 8, someone to 1 Corinthians 6, and someone to 2 Corinthians 13. In referring us to Him who is able, He is referring, of course, to our Father. And in Romans 8, whoever's there, verse 11.
But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Okay. And then in back in chapter 6, Joe, verses 4 and 5.
Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, whoever's there, verse 14.
And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 13, whoever's there, verse 4.
For though He was crucified through weakness, yet He liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you.
Okay. And if somebody will go to Galatians 1 and read verse 1.
Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead.
All right. So does everybody understand that God the Father raised His Son from the dead? All right. That's who Paul is pointing us to here. And that phrase, is able, is one word in the Greek. It's number 1410, if you want to look it up. It's the Greek word dunami, which is where we get number 1411, Paul, or a tie, which is where we get dynamite, okay, dunamos. But this is dunami. And it means to be of or have power. All right? And I think that's a way big understatement when it comes to our Father. And God's being or doing by His power here is poieo again. Remember that? From where we get our word poem. And as we've done many times before, how many in here have ever tried to write poetry? Talk about a dismal failure. Poetry is not something that you try to do. If it doesn't flow almost automatic, I hate to use the word automatically because that implies a machine, but if it doesn't just flow out of you, it's not poetry. Okay? This is the Greek word used here for our Father's power. It's poieo. It just flows out of him. He doesn't have to drink a Powerade before he raises one of us from the dead or something like that. It's just his ability. It's his nature. It's who he is. It's number 4160, if you want to look it up, poieo. And it is natural and inherent in him. It's part of who he is. So any doing of any sort or degree is easy for him. All right? Let's have somebody go to Genesis 18, someone back here to Ephesians 1, and someone to 2 Chronicles 16. Whoever gets to Genesis 18, verse 14.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.
Okay. You notice that two is italicized there?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the original. The King James translators put it in there, I'm convinced, because of just a little bit of unbelief.
Yeah.
And it goes like this. Well, nothing's too hard for the Lord. There might be some things hard for it, but nothing's too hard. And that's why they had to insert that in there. They just couldn't believe nothing was hard. So, anyway, Ephesians 1, whoever's in chapter 1 here, verses 19 through 21.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come.
Okay. Now, it might be interesting. I didn't look it up, but it might be interesting to look up that phrase, exceeding greatness. And as Brother Hill pointed out at least one time, you think of God's power and the things that he has been called on to do. If there was ever anything that approached the limits of his power, and you and I both know it didn't, it was raising his own son from the dead. Unlike you and I, in a sense maybe, imagine all the powers of darkness that were arrayed against letting Jesus come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if there was any exertion that God ever did, if he ever broke a sweat, which he didn't, it would have been when he raised his son. So anything beneath that, which everything else is, it's not hard for him. It's easy. It poieos out of him. Okay? Remember that next time you're in that trial, that you just don't see any way out of it. It's poieo for him. Okay? It's easy stuff. It's elementary stuff. It's kindergarten stuff for him. All right? Okay. 2 Chronicles 16. Whoever's there, verse 9.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him.
Okay. Whose heart is perfect towards him. Does that intimate to anybody in here maybe whose heart is looking to be wed to him?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. To show himself strong on the behalf of anybody who's looking to be wed to him. So don't mess with him. Okay? He's kind of got him corralled, and you don't want to mess with those individuals. He's going to show himself strong in their behalf. And whoever read in chapter 1 here in Ephesians, if you would go over to chapter 6 and read verse 10. Someone have it? 6:10?
Ephesians 6:10.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Okay. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I don't know about you, but Every time I read that, kind of like James. You know? I'm strong in the Lord. Is that the idea, James?
No. Over here, man, my mind, I'm thinking about something.
Okay,
be strong in the Lord.
Turn
I'm sorry.
Over to 1st or 2nd Corinthians 12, Joe.
Yeah. 2nd
Corinthians 12? Yeah. I think it's 1st. 1st?
Okay.
1st Corinthians 12?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
2
Corinthians 12?
No, 2nd. His strength is made perfect.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 12, James.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 12.
Mm-hmm. Starting at about verse 8 or 9.
Okay, here. No. Verse 8. Okay. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. But when I'm weak, then am I strong.
Okay. If you haven't already, there's two phrases to underline in that portion. My strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
For when I am weak, then am I strong. You want to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might? Get weak. In other words, realize that what Jesus said to his disciples, without me, you can do no thing. Otherwise pronounced nothing. You can do no thing. All right? And if you want to get really technical, that means you can't think, you can't breathe without him.
Amen.
All right? So when he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that's what he's talking about. Okay? Amen. Realizing just how weak and helpless we are. Okay? All right. Now, notice there in verse 20, he says, now unto him that is able to do... And notice this phrase, exceeding abundantly above all. That phrase in the Greek, I really love this. And this is God's poieoing again. That phrase in the Greek is hooper ek perisos hooper. And it means, if you were to translate it literally, it means a throwing far beyond all throwings beyond. Okay? So in other words, if you can throw that discus or that rock or that shot put clear out of sight, it means going way beyond that. Okay? A throwing beyond all throwing beyond. All right? So it's a throwing far beyond all throwing beyond that we could ask or think or imagine. All right? That's the provision and the power that's there. All right? And then he says, according, and of course that's that wonderful word, kata, according to the dunamis, that, again, energio, that works in us, that's fervent, effectual, active, or mighty in us. And notice also, it's according to, or he's willing to, I should say his willingness there to employ it in our behalf will no doubt be one of the chief causes of the worship and praise of the saints in eternity.
Oh,
and you see that in verse 21. All right? His willingness. And you might, for the thought willingness, you might substitute his good pleasure, because we've already seen that in chapter 3. Mm-hmm. So for his good pleasure to employ it in our behalf will be the cause for much of the praise and rejoicing of the saints in eternity. Okay? All right. Verse 4, or chapter 4 rather. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this first few verses here of chapter 4 so naturally follows all of the wonderful revelation that was given to us here in chapter 3. And notice that what does follow all of that wonderful revelation is Paul's earnest entreaty to us to walk worthy. All right? Now, there again, don't get, it's up to me to walk worthy, knowing what I know. No. The phrase walk worthy is one word in the Greek. It's number 4043. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. And let's have somebody go to 2 Corinthians 1 and someone to Philippians 1. The word means to walk about. In other words, how we conduct ourselves or how we live. It's that simple. It's not a marching in a certain way whenever you think somebody's watching. It's how we live from day to day. All right? That's what the walk worthy means, how we live. 2 Corinthians 1, whoever's there, verse 12.
For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you.
I like that. Simplicity and godly sincerity in the grace of God. What a marvelous description. Philippians 1, whoever's there, verse 27.
Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Okay. All right. Yes. Whether anybody's watching or not, this is how we walk. Okay. Ty, Hebrews 13, if you would. It's not too far from where you've been lately. Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 7.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. How far?
Through 7.
Okay. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
Okay. Now, I have to back up and apologize. I didn't break this out right here when I wrote it down. Number 4043, walk worthy is actually not a single word. I've got two separate words there. Walk is 4043. The word worthy is number 516 in the Greek, and it simply means appropriately or worthily. Okay? Now let's look at this thought a little bit. If somebody will go to Colossians 1, someone to 1 Thessalonians 2, someone to Romans 4, and someone to 1 Corinthians 7, and we'll start with those. Whoever's in Colossians 1, verse 10.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 2, whoever's there, verses Well, verse 12, it looks like.
That you will walk worthy of God, who have called you unto his kingdom and glory.
Okay. And then in Romans 4, whoever's there, verse 12.
And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised.
Okay. Walk in steps of faith. You want to walk worthy of the Lord? Well, one of the things that is walking worthy is walking by faith. Okay? Not by, gee, that really hurts my feelings, what that person just said or did to me. That's not faith. Okay? Walking by faith. Wow. My landlord just terminated my lease. That really hurts. No. That's feeling. That's not walking by faith. Okay? All right. And was that you, Joe?
Yes.
Chapter 6, verse 4.
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Ah, walk as a new creature. I like that. Mm-hmm. Chapter 13 and verse 13.
Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying.
Okay, walking honestly. 1 Corinthians 7, whoever's there, verse 17.
But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches.
Okay. Then let's have somebody go to 2 Corinthians 5, someone to Galatians 5, someone here to Ephesians chapter 2, someone to Philippians 3, and whoever was in Colossians 1, back to Colossians 4, and whoever was in 1 Thessalonians 2, back to 1 Thessalonians 4, and whoever's in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
We walk by faith, not by sight. Ty, is it okay if I erase some of this?
Yeah.
Just make a little room?
Erase it all.
Well, I won't do that. It's too good. But we will eventually. Okay. So, we've had faith. Did we have honestly?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly. Okay, what else have we had so far?
Worthy.
Okay. All right, let's keep going. Galatians 5, whoever's there, verse 25.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Okay. Okay, Ephesians 2, whoever's back there, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
And then in chapter 5, Mitch, verse 2.
And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour.
And verse 15.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
There's one more, Scott, when in Romans, walk in newness of life.
Ah, okay. Newness of... life. Okay. Philippians 3, let's have somebody go there. Oh, somebody's there. Philippians 3, verse 16.
Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing.
Okay, now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Yeah, I like those rules.
Colossians 4, whoever's back there, verse 5.
Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time.
Okay. And 1 Thessalonians 4, yes, 1 Thessalonians 4, whoever's there, verse 1.
Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as he had received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more.
Okay, we're just going to say, according to whatever it was that Paul said previously. Okay. And finally, Chrisette, verse 12.
That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing.
Okay, we've had that one already. Okay, so if you want to walk worthy of the Lord, and I think everybody does, here's a partial list of how to do it.
It's all love, right?
Well, yeah, it's got love right here.
I know, but it's all love. If you love somebody, you're going to walk in that, in every single one of those attributes.
Surely you're ruining my surprise. Now, I said this was a partial list. There's many more. Does anybody want me to continue? Is anybody even bothering to take these down? Mm-hmm. So nobody really wants to walk worthy of the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're looking kind of dubious, Joe. That bothers me. Well, somebody go to Ephesians chapter 4 here. Someone back to Colossians 2. Surely let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, sorry.
This is nothing but a list, if you're going to look at it that way, this is nothing but a list of do's and don'ts. Christ in you is not about do's and don'ts. If you want to walk worthy of the Lord, just let Jesus walk in you.
Amen.
It's that simple.
Praise the Lord.
And all this will happen.
What came to mind is that, like Philippians said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's what.
Yep, we're going to get there one of these days.
Okay.
Just let Jesus do the walking. It's that simple. And it's not what would Jesus do. Our pastor went over that this morning. Okay? Whoever's in chapter 4 here in Ephesians, verse 24.
And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Okay? And I believe, Joe, Ty, help me out here. I believe in the Greek that's actually past tense. Having put on the new man. We put on the new man the moment we were born again. So Christ in us is there. Colossians 2, whoever's there, verse 6.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.
Okay. How did you receive Christ?
By faith.
By faith. Just walk. Just believe that he will do it in you. And then in chapter 3, Joe, verses 10 through 14.
And have put on the new man, that's where the past tense.
Okay.
Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Let's all give Shirley a hand.
Yay, Shirley.
She recognized it ahead of time. That's good. Joe, go to Philippians 3. So again, in other words, let Christ in you, in us, in you, in me, do the walking. Yes. All right? After all, we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ, are we not?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So why shouldn't we be living as though we're already there? All right? Go back to that word walk. It means how you live. Why shouldn't we be living in heaven as though we're already there? Mm-hmm. Okay? Philippians 3, Joe, verse 20.
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. I hope it was a blessing to you. We're out of time.